Hey, how you doing? Are you well? Are you doing well? Last night I did something that I've talked about on the air before, but as I was doing it, I said to myself, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. My sink had a stink. My kitchen sink had a stink. From the drain came an odor that smelled like there was some type of roadkill in my sink. There wasn't, but it smelled like it. It was probably just the fact that there's a lot of crap in a sink, and eventually your sink is going to stink. So what you're supposed to do is buy a box of baking soda, but not just any box of baking soda. My God, don't even think of this. You've got to get that orange yellowish box, the Arm & Hammer baking soda. It's branding, babe. Other baking sodas will not work. Take the same baking soda, put it in an Arm & Hammer orange-yellow box. Now you've got the top shelf. It's the same in every brand. It's just packaging. So I open up the box, which is what you're supposed to do here. I open up the box, and I pour the baking soda down the drain in my kitchen sink. And then I walk away, and that's it. It says on the box to do this on a monthly basis. This is the most ingenious marketing I've ever seen in my life. Go to the store, buy this thing, and then throw it away down your sink. That's it. Wow. And do this every month. Go to the store, buy the box, open it up, dump it down the drain. That's it. Wow. You people are genius. You're genius.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Pleasure, pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Whatever.
It's a pleasure to be with you. It's a pleasure. This is all one large pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. You know what this is? It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Thanks for being here.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. You know, you're very special to me in many ways. I just can't think of any of them right now. But you're special. As a matter of fact, later on in the show, Patty Wood is going to join us. This is going to be fascinating. She is actually an expert in body language. She can tell us how we can be more successful in life by the way that we move, the things that we do, eye contact, things like that. That's going to happen later on in the show today. Something wrong with me. I swear there's something wrong with me. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. This show is free to you as long as you follow the rules.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required. No cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo. Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
Not a lot to ask, is it? I am required by the FCC, which has no jurisdiction over this program, to run that once every 17 years because it's important for your safety. Also, if you have any little children younger than 6 months old, they shouldn't be listening to this show. It could set them off, and you don't want that. It's bad enough as it is. Okay, good for you. So, I talked about the Arm & Hammer baking soda. What a wonderful, wonderful product that is. There's another product that that is on television. I don't know if you watch television or not. I don't know you. I don't personally know you at all. I don't know who you are. Maybe I do, but I don't know that I do. There's the rub. There's this woman. This is her name. Tell me if this name means anything to you. Kathy Mitchell. Does that name ring a bell? You had sex with her when you were 16 years old. Yeah, now you remember. Oh, I'm sorry, that's somebody else. Kathy Mitchell is, I don't like to fat shame people, but Kathy Mitchell looks like one of those little troll dolls. She's a short, pudgy little entity. She looks like she lives under the bridge, and when you try to cross it, she will confront you. That's what she looks like. Kathy Mitchell is on these infomercials and commercials. She's, she wrote a book. This is incredible to me. Again, incredible. She wrote a book called Dump Meals. DUMPMEALS. Dump Meals. I spelled it out in case you need closed captioning here. Here's a theory, and this is what she sells pans on television. And what you're supposed to do with these pans, you take her book, you take the ingredients of whatever you want to cook, whether it be eggs or a cake or some kind of beef dish or whatever. And this is the theory behind dump meals. You dump all the ingredients into this pan, put a lid on it, and bake it. You don't really cook. You dump. Nothing to me in the culinary world sounds more absurdly disgusting than this theory of cooking. What it is, I guess, is a casserole kind of mentality, but you don't cook, you dump. You dump it into a pan, put the lid on it, shove it in the oven or on the stove, and magically when you come back like an hour later, you've got a disgusting dinner. And I don't know if it's edible or not, but I'll tell you something. Anything that has the description dump in it probably doesn't make it real appetizing. I love to cook. It's one of my passions. It's one of my pastimes. It's a creative outlet for me. It's an excuse to drink an entire bottle of wine. I love cooking. I just do. I always have. I look forward every day to cooking a meal. I know. What am I? Who am I? What am I, Martha Stewart's kid? I don't know. I'm not Martha Stewart's kid because I only like cooking. I don't like macrame and potting plants and bedazzling things. So I'm not her kid. Technically, age-wise, I guess I could be, but I don't think so. She'd be a MILF to me, whatever that is. I don't know what a MILF is, but I think I want to have it done to me, MILFing. I think it's when an older woman goes after a younger man in a sexual aspect. There's really nothing to argue with here. Of course, you don't want the woman to be too much older. That would be creepy. But a couple of years older, maybe a decade older, you know, not so bad. We're talking about, you know, age-wise. We're talking about like a 35-year-old woman going after a 25-year-old guy. That sounds interesting. Ron, what the hell are you talking about today? What's going on here? Anyway, dump meals. There you go. I don't understand what's happening either. Something's going on and I don't understand what it is. I have the opposite problem that Marilu Henner has. Do you know who she is, Marilu Henner? Does that name ring a bell? No, it has nothing to do with dump meals nor with baking soda. Marilu Henner gained popularity as being the female character on a television show called Taxi, which I believe goes back to the 80s, I think. Or I don't know. I don't know the exact decade. But very, very popular, very, very funny. Danny DeVito was in it, Judd Hirsch, and Andy Kaufman, and other people that, you know, I don't know what happened to them. But a very funny show. Marilu Henner was the female person in this. Very talented. She's done a lot of Broadway and some motion pictures and that kind of thing. By the way, she's going to be joining us on Monday's show. Write that down on your calendar. Monday's show, she will be my guest. Anyway, and that's partially why I bring her up. She's got something, and I don't have it written down because I never expected to be talking about this. She's got some kind of a technical ability, and I don't know the technical name for it. There is one. It doesn't really matter, but there's a name for this ability. She can readily remember everything that happened in her life every single day that she was alive. Apparently, she says, after the age of 11, she is able to recall everything from every day with accuracy. Now, that's amazing to me because I don't remember where I was half an hour ago. Literally, I don't. I can't even find my keys half the time. That's an exaggeration. I'm not that far gone. But I think we all have these lapses in memory that goes on like forever. She, Marilu Henner, remembers everything, everything from the age of 11 and on. She's, I don't know how old she is. I think she's about 50, maybe a little bit older. I'm not sure. She's looking good. I don't know her exact age. I will find out, but I do not know right now. But to be able to be 50 years old and recall something that happened when you were 23, what day, almost what time, what you had for dinner, what the conversation was about, every single day of your life, that's not just a talent. That's something that's bestowed upon you. It's a positive disease. It's what I call a positive disease. It's something that won't kill you. It's not harmful. It's a disease of the brain in a very good way. Or is it? Or is it? That's the question. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? What is it? Now, what if you could remember everything that happened in your life every single day? Would it be a blessing or would it be a curse? Do you remember when you were 13 years old on Thursday, January 17th at 12:23 in the afternoon? you held up a puppy dog.
Aww.
Do you remember that? Now that sounds like fun, but maybe it's not. I didn't say snot by mistake. Maybe it's not. That's what I said. What if some horrible things happened in your life? What if something horrible happened? Like the death of a loved one, or the sickness of a loved one, or a shaming situation where you were totally knocked off your feet in emotional despair. What if that happened to you? And you can remember the exact feelings, the exact emotions, the exact words, the exact things that most of us spend most of our lives trying to forget. What if you couldn't forget things? What if, because of your condition, you had to remember everything? That's getting annoying. That's getting annoying. I have crafted my brain through most of my life to successfully forget the things that caused me pain. I believe that in one's life journey, there are very high, wonderful moments, and there are very low, horrifically terrible moments in life. I want to remember the wonderful moments vividly, clearly, and with glee. The horrible, horrible moments of life, I want to forget. I want them to be erased from my memory so that they no longer affect me, so that I no longer can go back to those horrible moments and relive them and have them re-affect my life whenever I think about them. I want to forget them. I want to erase them. Oh, I know they occurred. Oh, I know they occurred. The title of the book is still there, but I don't have the chapter anymore. That's what I choose to do. I think you have to. I think people in life pretty much have to be able to control where they go with their minds. But Marilu Henner, she doesn't have that option. She's got to remember everything. Now, I will tell you that I did pre-tape the interview with Marilu Henner earlier this week. It will air on Monday on that show. So I already know what the conversation was about, and I did not bring up this facet of her life, because that's not what our conversation was about. It was about something else. It's actually about something that her husband is going through, and we talked about that. We didn't talk about this aspect of remembering everything. So these are all suppositions on my part. My entire life is a supposition. So I know suppositions. Oh, I'm very aware of suppositions. This is where I start to understand Donald Trump. Oh, Ron, did you have to go there? Oh, it's where I start to understand it. Because in your world, and we all have our own worlds, we all have them. In our own worlds, we suppose things. We presuppose, we postsuppose. And in our world, whether they're proven right or wrong, the suppositions still remain. The impressions still remain. So I start to understand Trump, where he lives in his own world, and once he forms an opinion or a stance, he doesn't back down from it, even if that stance is totally wrong. That's called false news in his own head. I mean, I'm not going to talk about him. I'm just saying the man needs to go to rehab. Excuse the expression. Excuse what I'm going to say. He is fucked up. There's something wrong with him. He has mental disorders. No one's arguing that point. No one's arguing that point. No one, a lot of people don't argue the point that we needed to change government. We needed to make this country more efficient. Yes. We needed to do certain things. But the guy you chose to do it was the worst choice imaginable. the worst choice, to the point where it is incredibly destructive to everything that you wanted to be better. It is the antithesis of what you wanted. Is it your fault? Yeah. It's your fault. All right, let's get off of this, and let's get off of Mary Lou Henner. She's married anyway, so that's not the point. Let's move on. Can we? Can we move on? Will you let me move on?
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
There's a very popular breakfast place near where I live. And it's really only open for breakfast. Its popularity is breakfast. Sometimes they'll throw some lunch in there and that'll be wonderful, but its popularity is breakfast. And it has a certain name. I won't give you the name of the restaurant because it's not really important. I'm not looking to promote it nor disgrace it. I simply look at it as an example of wonderment, because I'm not there. I'm not there in this mentality. And here's what it is. It's a breakfast place. If you want to have breakfast, it's at least $10. And that's basically just for a glass of orange juice. I exaggerate, but that's pretty much the case. If you want to have a couple of scrambled eggs with toast and some home fries, we're talking $14. I mean, what kind of chickens do these fucking eggs come out of? Excuse me for talking like that. What types of chickens do these darn eggs come out of? Obviously, what they do is not worth the money that people pay. It's in somewhat of a swanky town. And I just marvel. I look at the people that are eating there for breakfast, and I try to get into their heads as this restaurant is trying to get into their pocketbook, for the female's wallet, for the man. I look at these people standing in line waiting to get into this small breakfast place, almost fighting to pay outrageous amounts of money for breakfast egg products. Here's what they do. You can have Eggs Benedict, which is poached eggs with a sauce on them, usually on a piece of ham and an English muffin and some home fries. That's usually what this would be. At this place, the Eggs Benedict start at $18. And the reason they do this is they take two spears of asparagus and they lay it on top of the Eggs Benedict. That makes it classy. Now we're charging near $20 for this thing. To me, it's humorous. It's absurdly ridiculous. But then I realize, hey, they can get away with this because it's extremely popular. You have to wait like 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour to get a table to have breakfast and spend like $15, $18 a plate for breakfast. I would be running in the opposite direction. So I stare at these people. I drive by and stare at them. It's a drive-by stare. And I try to figure out, what the hell are you doing? Why are you waiting to get into a place where they charge you extraordinary amounts for breakfast because asparagus is involved? Why? It's a crowded little place. There's no arm room. The tables are like up on each other. It's not real swanky. It's just that it's in a fairly expensive town. But what are these people thinking? It's the same people that go to Nordstrom's. I've talked about this with Tori on my show before. Nordstrom's is a very expensive department store. And I believe the only reason anybody would ever buy their clothes or shop in Nordstrom's would be that they can walk around with the bag that says Nordstrom's on it from the store to their home. And if you're driving, which is what most of these people do, will go to Nordstrom's, what's even the point? Who's going to even see the bag that says Nordstrom's on it? We do very odd things, I guess is my point here. We do very odd things to make ourselves feel like we're special. And that involves huge amounts of money that are being thrown away in order to make you feel like you're in an upper class. There used to be a show on television called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Robin Leach, some Australian-British guy, the accents sometimes fool me, I don't know where anybody's from anymore. And he would, every week, this was a show that was back in the 70s or 80s or something, whatever, or maybe the 90s, I really don't know. And they would show you celebrities' homes, and celebrities would take you on tours of these homes, or these very, very rich company executives, you would look at their homes with these infinity pools and the gold leaf molding on their walls. It was almost like visiting Trump's life, you know. Here's another you elect a president who lives like rich in your face, and this is the person that represents middle America, the guy that's never seen middle America, never talked to anybody from middle America, just talks at them. This guy's always been rich. He sits in these gigantic gold leaf throne chairs. He literally has these couches that are like dipped in gold that are brought in from Italy into his Trump Tower. This is the man you chose to represent you. It's just, what were you thinking? What? Tell me, what were you thinking? Well, Ron, the alternative was to vote for Clinton. Then just don't vote. Then this would be the one time then that you just don't vote or write me in or something. You know, no one ever elects me to anything. Not that I'd ever want to be, man. As soon as you're elected to anything, your life is just exposed. Your life is on the line. They can see everything you've ever done. Look up all your records. I mean, they can destroy you publicly. You've got to have balls to do this. Not the radio, but to be in public office. Totally different. I remember when I was growing up, you know, someday you could be president. Well, that possibility's come back to haunt us now. But kids used to be told, you know, if you work hard and you get smart and you're caring and you're wonderful, someday you could be president. Now that seems like a threat. Yeah, really? Really? If you don't do your homework and you don't learn how to speak English properly, and if you don't become aware and smart, you could become president. Well, wait a minute, that's the opposite. I thought if I were smart, I would become president. No, if you're smart, you wouldn't be president. You'd be running a company. You wouldn't want to be president if you were smart. You'd have to have some power derangement disorder if you wanted to be president. There have to be something wrong with you, some need to obtain large amounts of power, to have people listen to you and do your every bidding. That's what that job is. If you were smart, you'd be running a company and you'd say, oh, that crap's not for me. All right, I'm done. I don't even know what I started talking about. I have no idea. Thanks for hanging on. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
I want to talk talk about body language. It is amazing, and it's absolutely true, that the way that you appear to other people is how successful you are in relationships, in business, in your life. It makes all the difference in the world. Smile. I don't smile. I don't smile because it's a lot of pressure on my face. I don't smile a lot. But people that can naturally smile all the time, don't you want to be around them? Don't you want to be in their company, in their aura, their happy little aura? They seem to be happy about things. They just love life. They love you. That's intriguing. After a while, it gets annoying, but initially, it's intriguing. Someone who doesn't smile, who looks dour and too serious, and has their eyes wander all over the place while you're talking to them, you don't want to have anything to do with these people. That would be me. That would be me on both sides of the equation. So when Patty Wood comes along, she's an expert in body language, and it's very uplifting, and it's just so absolutely true. What you give off is what you get back. And since I talked to her a little bit earlier, and since I've talked to her, I'm trying so hard to smile more. And when someone's talking to me, I try to look in their eyes like I'm incredibly interested, although I'm really not. I mean, who are we kidding? Me interested in something someone's saying? Maybe initially, maybe for a minute. After that, in my world, you have a minute to make your point. And if you take more than a minute, or you're going to tell me some long-winded story, such as I'm doing to you, I lose interest. That's me. I could never listen to my own show. It's far too long, far too involved, far too rambling. I can't do it. That's why I'm on this end of it. But I have that disorder. I don't know what that disorder is called, but I have that. I literally have no interest in anybody after a certain period of time. It's just the way it is, man. Just the way it is. Anyway, Patty Wood is trying to convince me otherwise, that I would be far more successful and engaging if I made believe, at least, that I was interested in other people. It's a far stretch, but let's say hello.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Patty. How are you?
Terrific.
Well, you sound terrific. I can't see you, but you sound terrific.
I'm wondering if I feel like I've been on your show before a long time ago.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
Yeah.
I do recall. Yeah. Patty Wood is a body language expert, which works perfect for radio. But nonetheless, how important is it to be aware of that part of your expression?
It's critical to be aware of all aspects of body language. So every movement you make, every posture you hold, every expression you make with your eyes sends messages about you. And since we can exchange up to 10,000 nonverbal cues with just one person in less than a minute, which seems amazing, it's critical we pay attention. That's why it's surprising that a recent Allergan survey showed that only a quarter of Americans believe that nonverbal communication is more important than your words, when in actuality, because it's often not under our conscious control, we send much more honest messages with our nonverbal communication.
So when you're having a conversation with somebody, there are certain things to remember that make that conversation more impactful, such as on the job or in an interview or something?
Yes. And for example, eye language, when you're communicating with somebody and you do something like mutual eye contact, it's actually reaching the other person's brain. You're syncing with three parts of the other person's brain. Mm-hmm. And so when you make eye contact, you increase memory cues, which is fascinating. It's just fascinating. So that you think, I'm making all this communication with my words. Yes. But if you don't make eye contact, you're losing out on connection and understanding. Mm. For example, eye language also communicates emotional state, not just the 5 or 6 basic emotions, but over 50 different mental states just through eye language. So it's very critical that you make eye contact.
Huh. I tell a story on the show all the time, which is absolutely true, and you probably invented this idea. if I'm walking down the street and a stranger is coming from the opposite direction, hopefully someone of the opposite sex, if they just glance up at me and do a little smile and then continue on their way, no words are spoken, there's no conversation, I don't know who they are, but for the rest of the day, I feel wonderful.
Well, let me tell you one of the reasons why. Uh-huh. It's because when you make eye contact, it's very similar to touch. Mm-hmm. It releases the love hormone, oxytocin.
Oh.
That's the bonding hormone. So it actually gives you that little kick of the bonding hormone.
Wow.
It makes you feel good. And when you make eye contact like that in combination with a quick movement, like her bringing her head up and smiling, it increases that connection and bonding that we feel.
Wow. So impactful.
I know. It's just so amazing.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
It's like,
and so you want to, another cue that you could do when you do go on that walk, so maybe you can get some more of those smiles, you could do an eyebrow flash. An eyebrow flash is you open up your eyes wide and you flash up your eyebrows for a fifth of a second. It's a normal, natural cue.
Mm-hmm.
You do typically only when you meet friends and family.
Yeah.
But you could do that purposefully, like when somebody comes in to talk to you, or you're at a networking event or a party, somebody comes in the room, you eyebrow flash, and that sends a symbolic message, hey, I like what I see and I want more of it, in a very safe way. In fact, that message of an eyebrow flash immediately makes the other person feel more important. And our elegance survey showed that over 52% of Americans believe that eye contact is critical in making a good first impression.
Wow. What if you have some kind of a nervous tic, or you got some eye problems or something?
That's critical, because eye language is so important. Mm-hmm. If you're suffering from symptoms of chronic dry eye, like itchy, burning, watering eyes, you might be sending the wrong message unintentionally. So talk to your doctor, or visit eyepowerment.com, and you can learn more about the symptoms and treatment options for chronic dry eye.
Because this is allergy season for the Northeast.
Right. And so you don't want to be rubbing your eye. Rubbing your eye can send just a message that you're uncomfortable. It can send a message that you're stressed out.
Yeah.
And depending on the timing, if you rub your eye when somebody asks you a question or you're making a statement, it could indicate by that timing that you're not being truthful. So you don't want to send that message.
Wow. And because that'll happen. I'll look in the mirror and I'll go, oh my God, I don't look like what I'm actually feeling here. And that happens a lot.
Right. Yeah. And because so much of nonverbal communication is not conscious, it's coming out of your limbic brain rather than your neocortex, you want to become awake and aware to how you're looking to other people.
Yeah.
So you don't want to roll your eyes. A lot of eye contact and eye behavior and eye language has to do with opening the eyes and closing the eyes. It's called eye opening and eye narrowing. And if you're upset or you feel uncomfortable, your eyes tend to narrow and the muscles around the eye tend to tighten, and you can send a message of a glare of intimidation. And if you hold that for longer than 3 seconds, they're going to think you're overpowering them.
I mean, all you really have to do is just, when you have conversation with somebody, notice how you feel when they do certain things, and then you pretty much get it.
Right. And you want to make eye contact as the listener. The listener has the greatest responsibility in the conversation.
Oh.
They should be making eye contact about 60% of the time.
Oh.
The speaker, maybe 30. But the listener has the real responsibility, because the person that's conversing has what's called high cognitive load.
Yes.
So they have to be looking away in order to process and think about what they're going to say.
Wow.
But if the listener isn't looking, then you don't have understanding. You're not doing something called brain syncing to create consciousness and understanding and empathy.
Okay, here's what I like to do. I would hire you, and I put a little earpiece in my ear, and you're in another room. You're in another room with a microphone, and then you're giving me tips on how to.
All right, I can do that. I will be your wing woman.
That's what I'm looking for.
How do I
get more information on not that, but I mean, how do we get more information on what we're talking about?
You can go to eyepowerment.com.
Wow. It sounds so simple, and it makes such a difference, though.
It does. A tremendous difference. You really want to make more eye contact. Create that connection.
Okay. And see your eye doctor. That sounds like that's the tagline. And make sure you get your eyes checked. All right.
Yeah.
Well, why not? What the hell? Patty, it's always fun talking to you, and the information is like really, really good. It does change one's whole attitude and life when you just pay attention. Cool.
I can just see people making eyebrow flashes all day long after listening to your show.
Well, I'm gonna practice. I got a big mirror, and I will take care of that part. Patty, thanks
okay,
a lot.
Okay, good deal.
Take care.
You take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Patty would. Would she? I don't know. I think she would. All right. I'm out of time for today. I know what you're saying. Thank God. Is that what you're saying? Isn't it? I can read you like you won't believe. I'll be back on Monday or whatever, next show that I do. Until then, I wish you peace.